We often invite the authors of an incisive political essay or commentary to join our show to talk about the news of the day. For the next few minutes, we're going to recall the words of a writer who was born 100 years ago today. Lots of writers working today revere and draw inspiration from James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time. NPR's Andrew Limbong spoke to one to find out why.
There are two essays collected in The Fire Next Time. Both were published in the early 1960s, and yet Baldwin's words sounded new to Jesmyn Ward by the time she got around to reading them in grad school in the early 2000s.
His honesty was so fierce that it shocked me in a way.
Ward is the author of a number of acclaimed books, including Sing, Unburied Sing, and her memoir, Men We Reaped. But I called her up to help me break down The Fire Next Time because in 2016, Ward edited a collection of poems and political essays. They were a response to the killing of Trayvon Martin and everything that happened after. It was titled The Fire This Time, as a nod to Baldwin.
I wanted to let him know, wherever that he may be, that there are those of us who look up to him and who are attempting to do the same work that he did with the same honesty and with the same fearlessness.
That honesty and fearlessness that Ward talks about, it's on display right from the beginning of Baldwin's The Fire Next Time. The first essay is titled My Dungeon Shook, Letter to My Nephew on the 100th Anniversary of the Emancipation. And it's exactly that, a letter to Baldwin's own 14-year-old nephew, also named James. And it starts like this.
Dear James, I have begun this letter 5 times and torn it up 5 times. I keep seeing your face, which is also the face of your father and my brother. Like him, you are tough, dark, vulnerable, moody, with a very definite tendency to sound truculent because you want no one to think you are soft.
Already, in these first few lines, there are multiple shifts in tone and pacing.
In the first sentence, I've begun this letter 5 times and torn it up 5 times. Right there, he's signaling to his nephew, we're about to talk about something that's very difficult. This letter is going to contain really difficult subject matter.
The essay is ultimately Baldwin de-romanticizing the institutions in his nephew's life, his family, his faith, his country. It's an act of tough love, but it's love nonetheless.
The way that he softens that beginning is with the next line, right? The next sentence. I keep seeing your face, which is also the face of your father and my brother. Following up with such a careful, close sort of observation, that's love, right? Because I love you enough to see you clearly.
Baldwin applies this clarity to how the U.S. treats Black Americans, including his nephew.
There are these moments in the text when he doesn't use his nephew's name and he just uses you.
He writes, you were born into a society which spelled out with brutal clarity and in as many ways as possible that you were a worthless human being.
He is so straightforward about what he sees in America. And it feels like he's speaking to me, right? Like it feels like this wise person, this older wise person is sitting with me and they're telling me something that I dimly understood but was not able to articulate.
Almost as a counter to that, the second essay of the book is titled Down at the Cross, Letter from a Region in My Mind. It's an essay about politics and faith, and at the centerpiece is Baldwin visiting Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam, for dinner, along with his followers.
And there are moments where James Baldwin sort of steps back and he sinks into the role of the narrator, right? And he looks at himself as a character.
And here, instead of a wise older uncle, he's unsure, he's insecure. He knows he's being courted to join the Black separatist movement, a movement he finds serious flaws with. And yet, quote, I looked around the table. I certainly had no evidence to give them that would outweigh Elijah's authority or the evidence of their own lives or the reality of the streets outside.
He sees the human. He observes the human. He understands something of what they are struggling with and something of what they brought to this moment. And it's, I mean, all of that, I think, is what makes him the great writer who he is.
Baldwin's political essays work because they pull double duty. They speak to the moment, but are worth reading decades later. But in a way, that's a sad fact.
Things have definitely changed, but I don't know. It's sad to me how
relevant it all is.
Right. How relevant it is and how much things haven't changed.
Andrew Limbong, NPR News.